here for a while. Senate Bill 97 provide for the implied covenants of good faith and fair dealing in certain employment contracts. Senator Ketzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This bill reminds me a little bit of that song by the Bee Gees, Stayin' Alive, which is a nice feeling, and I would hope that with your help, we'll continue to stay alive with Senate Bill 97. Senate Bill 97 is an interesting bill in this respect. If you look at South Dakota Codified Law 60-1-2, which the caption for that part of the code is contract of employment defined. What that says is this. The contract of employment is one where the employer engages the employee to do something for the employer or a third party. Now, what that says when you break it out is very explicitly is that when you work for somebody, there is indeed a contract. That's what it says. Really simple. So in law, we've already established that when an employee goes to work for an employer or an employer hires an employee, automatically you assume that there is a contract there. And what Senate Bill 97 does is it just, again, verifies that. And it says that, yes, indeed, there is a contract. That's all it does. Now, you may hear, I'm not sure if anybody will oppose this, but if they do, you may hear them say, well, what this does is it takes away the employer's right to fire an employee. No, it doesn't. Not at all. An employer always has that right. That isn't taken away at all. You can, if I come in on Monday morning, let's say you're my employer, and for whatever reason you decide you no longer want me as an employee, you have the right to fire me on the spot. This does not touch that. It doesn't take away from that at all. Now, in the rest of the world, for people who, I'll use the example of a union, and they have a contract with their employer. They have a contract. It is there, and it's in place. For those employers that have a employee handbook, that is a contract as well. This, more than anything, addresses the employer that neither has a contract with their employees nor has an employee handbook. It just merely states that there is an implied covenant of good faith that you indeed do have a contract. I come to work for you, and you've said to me, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars, and you'll get so much vacation and whatever the benefits are, if there are benefits included. And I, in turn, say to you, I'll perform a job. That implies that we have a contract, that we indeed have a covenant of good faith with each other. And this just merely says that is the case. It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. And I think what it does more than anything is it just extends what we already have in statute and puts it in 60-4-4. And with that, Mr. Chairman, if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. And just remember, please, the Bee Gees.
Have you heard of any opposition to this bill at all, or none?
There might be one. I'm not sure.
Okay. Any other questions, Senator Ketzel? Senator Whiting.
Well, I mean, this is pretty nebulous. I mean, what for example, if you just do, in real life. What if you came to, or I hired you, you came to work for me, and you've been there a day, a couple days, and somebody else walked in I thought might be a little more presentable or might do the job a little better, or maybe it was my nephew. And I thought, okay, catch me out of here. I'm going to take this guy on your place. Is that good faith? And you say, wait, no good faith. I haven't had a chance to prove myself yet. I've only been here 2 days.
That's true. But on the other hand, as the employer, you also have that right to do that.
Is that good faith? I mean, the whole concept of good faith seems weird. It's just so airy-fairy.
Well, and I understand. And also in the business world, there are things such as extended family relations and employment where we need to make room. And I understand that. I think all employees understand that. Now, whether or not that is good faith, I'm not sure. I think that you know as well as I do, in a court of law, if it ever got pushed that far, that the employee indeed would lose.
If I could. But isn't this the point, Senator Ketzel, that it would, all these things would end up, I mean, you would be encouraging these issues to end up in a court of law, And, you know, is that a public policy that we really want in this state?
Well, I guess, respectfully disagree with you on that, Senator Whiting. And the reason I say that more than anything is because if you look at the climate and the business climate in South Dakota in particular, and the work ethic that we have as workers in this state, which is second to none, by the way, I might add, I don't think that there's a concern there as far as all of a sudden an overburden on the court system by letting people go and firing them and telling them to go seek employment elsewhere.
Further questions? Thank you, then, Senator. Further proponents of Senate Bill 97? Further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My job is to sing that song to you, but I can't find the words, so I will try to be brief. Good morning. My name is Paul Elward. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota State Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. I've worked in employee-side labor relations for a little over 30 years now, and in both the private and public sector. And during that time, there's been many times when I've seen both employees and employers who have not been treated fairly, both sides, not just the employee, but also employers. What we believe this says is that both sides will treat each other fairly and honestly. As Senator Ketzel mentioned, all of our members are covered by union contracts. So I don't believe that this probably applies to our membership, so you would probably ask me, why are we in favor of something like this? Well, we see it as a social justice issue, and we always fight for social justice issues. That's why we're supporting this bill. We believe that workers and the employers both have a vested interest in the employment relationship, and we believe that both sides should treat each other fairly and honestly in that relationship. It's to both's advantage. Every year it seems like I get calls from people who are not represented by unions, and they have some type of a dealing with their employer, not only terminations, but just problems with their employer, and they ask me where they can go, what they can do. And normally I tell them if you don't have some type of employee handbook or a union contract, or if it's not a case of some legal discrimination, there's probably nothing you can do, even though the treatment may be unfair, unjust, according to them, and seem outrageous at times. So we see this as just a measure that will let employers and employees treat each other fairly and honestly. We urge your support of this bill and hope that you can pass it. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Are there questions, Paul? No, thank you very much, Paul. Senate Bill 97, further proponents. How many people in opposition? Okay. pardon? Okay, let's go to the opponents and try to keep it as brief as you can, if you could. We've got a number of those.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm James Marsh, Director of the Division of Labor and Management in the State Labor Department. I'm here to encourage you not to add the concept of good faith and fair dealing to the already complex legal relationship between employers and employees in our state and federal law, and to keep the government out of the business of deciding what is reasonable in an employer-employee contractual relationship. South Dakota has had the at-will law since territorial days, when we borrowed it from California. Since that time, a huge body of federal law, including FMLA, ADA, COBRA, Title VII, and the National Labor Relations Act, has impacted on that relationship. Our state courts and the legislature have made some inroads on that law as well, but we don't recognize an implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing in employment contracts, as that was rejected by our Supreme Court in 1988 in a case called Breen versus Dakota Gear and Joint Company. As that court noted, the concept of the covenant is not alien to us, but is ill-suited to employment situations. The duty is recognized only when there is a special relationship, such as that between an insured and his or her insurance carrier. This duty was imposed in insurance contracts because of the party's unequal bargaining power. For example, if Allstate chooses not to pay me when my house burns down, I can't run down the street to State Farm to have them pick up the claim. In a real sense, I am at the mercy of Allstate to pay the claim as the law requires. In an employment setting, however, as the Breen Court said, the parties have equal standing. If I don't like how I'm being paid or the benefits I receive, I can leave whenever I want. Jobs are plentiful, and I have to be paid for the work I've already done, so I lose nothing. When good faith and fair dealing is imposed, I have to be reasonable when I leave, and my employer has to be reasonable in letting me go. Every one of such cases is a lawsuit waiting to happen, because any lawyer will tell you that what is reasonable is whatever the 12 people sitting in the jury box in court that day happen to think is reasonable. This is an unacceptable burden for both sides, in my opinion. At least, it is an unnecessary and unpredictable burden when coupled with the body of law that already exists. I would urge you, then, not to pass House Bill 1121 and would be available for questions.
Thanks, James. Questions? We appreciate your brevity. Thank you very much. Further opponents of Senate Bill 97?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm David Owen with the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. The English have a great phrase: when they let you go, I am told they discuss their freeing up your future. Almost makes it sound like a favor. We're opposed to this bill, but I want to talk about a couple things very briefly, Mr. Chairman, to put some perspective on this. You know, we're not here simply out of a knee-jerk reaction because it's us and the unions, and we see too much of that here. I'm a history buff. I've lived where United Mine Workers No. 1 was started, and I understand what unions have done for workers through history to this point. And as a matter of fact, I think unions have a great future as we move into an economy where more and more people are going to be needing certain skills and be virtually self-employed. Unions could return, and probably will, to the trades teaching, skill-building kinds of institutions. I think they have a great future. But I think this particular bill will complicate our relationship between employers and employees in South Dakota in a way that other states have, because the previous testimony was absolutely accurate. If you leave these vagaries in law, we will go to court to figure out what they mean. The business community will then come to you, as they did in my previous state, and ask you to pass a wrongful discharge act to try to bring some sense to this. And then we will have complicated employment to the point where we'll see a growth industry that's growing in a lot of other states, and it's leased employees, so that we can literally pay people to take care of the hassle of complying with the laws when we hire someone and then try to terminate that relationship. My final point is this. In a time when employees are so valuable and are taken off so fast, one of the complaints that I hear from employers is that they're taking 60 days worth of training cost and bugging out for 25 cents an hour. And I'm wondering if this isn't going to bind some employees. You know, what's the balance? We do have some balance. Employees can just leave as well as be fired. Are we then going to see the chamber asking for some restrictions on saying, look, there are some minimum times you must spend here because we have invested in you. We want that investment back. That would also complicate this relationship. I truly believe that this is not a good step for South Dakota.
Thank you, David. Questions? If not, we thank you for your brevity as well. Further opponents of Senate Bill 97. Further opponents.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Saar, and I'm the staff attorney and lobbyist for the Bureau of Personnel for the state of South Dakota. And I would echo the sentiments of the last two opponents. And I think I just add two thoughts. One, I think when you look at this exception, it is truly a boundless exception. I mean, you could have perfectly good cause to terminate an employee, and the employee could turn around and claim that you violated the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. You know, it may be a situation where the employee says, like Senator Whiting brought up, you didn't give me enough training, or it could be a situation where you made me work with Steve, you knew I didn't like Steve, or there's all different types of scenarios. And that's an issue that's going to be one of fact and will likely end up before a judge and jury. So I think it is problematic, and if you don't want to end up in a court as the employer, you're either going to have to buy that employee off, you're going to have to settle the claim, or you're going to have to go out and hire an attorney and fight that claim. And I think either way, we are looking at added expenses. And then I think the other thing I wanted to add is that I did a little bit of research on how other states have approached this issue. And along with South Dakota, the overwhelming majority of states have also rejected this implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing, and especially in this completely unwatered down form. I mean, this is totally pure, and it doesn't even consider any sort of mitigating factors. And some of those states include Minnesota, Nebraska, and North Dakota. And not every state has looked at this issue, but I think if you looked at the case law, the overwhelming majority of the states have said this is not a road that we want to go down. So I would urge you to defeat the bill.
Thank you very much. Questions, Bob? If not, thank you again. Further opponents of Senate Bill 97?
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, my name is Brent Wilbur. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Bankers Association. We're here for two reasons. One, we have about 13,000 employees in South Dakota. And two, we have a lot of experience with the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing, which our South Dakota Supreme Court adopted in a limited sense with regard to the lender-borrower relationship in the case of Garrett versus BankWest in 1989. Since that time, I've defended a number of implied covenant cases. Bob Sutton from the Bankers Association claims that those cases have built my house over the last few years. And they have really proliferated far beyond what anybody thought they would see. I would be happy to answer any questions about the practicalities of how one of these cases works. But other than that, I just tell you that each and every time one of these claims is made, it will wind up going to a jury.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Brent. Questions, if not further opponents? Appreciate everybody's brevity.
Bob Ryder with the South Dakota chapter of the National Federation of Independent Business. We oppose this principally because most of our members are small business people. They don't have written employment agreements specifying terms and conditions. They rely rather upon the at-will doctrine, which has been in South Dakota since, as the representative from the Department of Labor testified, since early on. We believe that this is a significant inroad into that at-will doctrine, and in fact, quoting from the case that was cited earlier, the Breen case, our Supreme Court said that they rejected transplantation of the covenant of good faith and fair dealing into the foreign soil of the employment at will doctrine. I mean, our court recognized, after having looked at many cases from other jurisdictions, that frankly, at will and the covenant of good faith and fair dealing are inconsistent. And if you're going to adopt this, you're really, in effect, rejecting employment at will, which we urge you not to do.
Thank you, Bob. Questions? Not further opponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jim Hood, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. And for the reasons explained by the other opponents, we also oppose Senate Bill 97. It is an erosion of the at-will doctrine. Our association represents many small Main Street business people across the state of South Dakota. We don't have employment contracts. We don't have employee handbooks. And this erodes the at-will doctrine under which we have operated very fairly, I think, throughout the history of the state of South Dakota. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thanks, Jim. Further, any questions? Further opponents? If not, Gil, do you want 30 seconds?
Yes, that's. I think I changed my song to Who Let the Dogs Out. I guess I find it kind of interesting the fact that first one's out of a shoot is our own Department of Labor, who I guess that surprises me for some reason that they would be up and testifying on this bill. And then it surprised me that our own state of South Dakota is concerned about this, because you question what kind of an employer they may be in that respect. But with that aside, you heard testified that, well, we don't have an employee handbook, we don't have a contract. What's it going to take to put one together? It's a matter of dignity. It's a matter of respect. It's a matter of treating your employee as you would like to have them treat you. It's a pretty simple thing. I don't think it erodes at the goodwill doctrine at all. I think it's a matter of mutual respect, and I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? If not, we'll close the committee discussion or committee action on Senate Bill 97. Senator Whiting.
Well, I think David Orr raised an interesting perspective on this, that this does say good faith and fair dealing between an employer and employee, and so I mean, the shoe could well go on the other foot. Employee came in and said he was going to quit after I'd put him through a training program or whatever for it, in any circumstance. He said, why? He said, well, 50 cents an hour more by the employer. I said, no, our medical plans worth 50 cents more than that one. And, you know, you've got all kinds of disputes you can have. It could certainly be a two-way street. I think this is really a lawyer's full employment bill, actually. And I would certainly oppose it, and I would move that this be referred to the 41st legislative day.
Motion to refer to the 41st legislative day. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Duggar. Comments on that motion? There being none, all in favor of deferring Senate Bill 97 to the 41st legislative day will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Secretary, call the roll.
Mould?
Aye.
McCracken?
Aye.
Sutton?
No.
Boreski?
No.
Whiting?
Aye.
Duggar?
Aye.
Brunson? Aye. Senate Bill 97 has been deferred to the 41st legislative day, and I really do thank the proponents and the opponents for staying on target and staying with the issue and not veering off, so we appreciate that. Let's move here to Senate Bill